You're listening to ESL Podcasts English Cafe, number 331. This is ESL Podcasts English Cafe, episode 331. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. Our website is eslpod.com. On it, you can visit our ESL podcast store, which has some additional premium courses in business and daily English that you will enjoy, I know. You can also download the learning guide for this episode and every episode. The learning guide contains lots of additional information, including a complete transcript of this episode, vocabulary words, definitions, sample sentences, and cultural notes, as well as a short comprehension quiz. On this cafe, we're going to have another one of our Ask an American segments, where we listen to other native speakers, other than me, talking at a normal rate of speech. We're going to listen to them and explain what they are talking about. Today we're going to talk about saving money and using something called online money management tools. And as always, we'll answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. Our topic on this cafe's Ask an American segment is online money management. Online means on the internet, of course. Money management refers to how you spend and save your money. We're going to look at one of these websites called Smarty Pig and listen to some people talk about the whole idea of managing or taking care of your money online. Most of us have bank accounts, and we're used to perhaps looking at our bank account, keeping track of, that is, keeping a record of, knowing how much money we have and how much money we have spent. Well, these new online services are designed to help people save money, especially when they are saving for a specific reason, a specific purpose. We'll begin by listening to Michael Ferrari, who is going to explain how Smarty Pig works. Smarty Pig is a website that was started in 2007. A pig, of course, is an animal. In the United States, we have the tradition, perhaps in other countries as well, of giving children a small container, something to hold money that they get, pennies, nickels, dimes, quarters. We call that a piggy bank, and it is often in the shape of a pig. I'm not sure exactly why we put it in the shape of a pig. I had a piggy bank when I was a young boy, 5, 6 years old. To be smart, of course, means to be intelligent. Smarty with a Y at the end is sort of humorous, sounds sort of funny. Smarty Pig, then, is the name of this website. Let's listen to Michael, and then we'll come back and explain what he had to say.
For example, I'm saving up for a vacation. I want to save $5,000. I want to meet this goal in 3 years. Smarty Pig will actually calculate how much money you need to allocate every month. You don't have to move from your existing bank. We'll actually go in and withdraw those funds on the day you specify every month, and we'll put them into your SmartyPay account where they'll actually accrue interest as well.
Michael begins by giving us an example of how someone could use his website to save money. He begins by saying, for example, I'm saving up for a vacation. To save up means the same as to save. Remember, in a lot of our two-word phrasal verbs in English, we often add another word for emphasis. It doesn't really change the meaning. To save up then means the same as to save. Michael is saving up for a vacation, a holiday, as they may say in England. He says, I want to save $5,000. I want to meet this goal in 3 years. To meet your goal means I want to reach it. I want to have accomplished it. SmartyPig, this website, will actually calculate how much money you need to allocate every month. To calculate means to perform a mathematical operation, addition, subtraction, multiplication, or division in this case. We can do simple calculations by ourselves, but this website makes or does the calculations for us. The website will calculate how much I need to save every month, how much I need to allocate every month. To allocate, A-L-L-O-C-A-T-E, means to save or to set aside something for a particular purpose. I need to allocate $500 to fix my car. That means I need to put aside, I need to save a certain amount of money for that. Or if I already have the money, I need to make sure I don't spend the money on something else. This website will tell you how much you have to allocate each month, how much you have to save. Michael says you don't have to move, that is, move your banking from your existing bank, from the bank where you are right now. You don't need to go get a new bank. He says the website will go in and withdraw those funds on the day you specify every month. They'll go in, meaning they'll go into your account and they will withdraw or take out money from your bank account and put it into another bank account that will be for this specific purpose. A separate bank account that you will be saving your money in. So every month on a certain day, this website will take money from your bank account and put it into your SmartyPig account, and that is where you will save it. So really, you're moving it from one bank account to another, but it's a bank account that the website will control. In this bank account, you will also accrue interest. Interest is money that the bank pays you for saving your money with them. It's in some ways the price of money. When you borrow money from someone else and they charge you interest, you have to pay them additional money, usually a certain percentage. That's also the price of money. So the bank will either pay you money, or if you borrow money from the bank, you will have to pay the bank money. When the bank pays you money, when they pay you interest, that interest accrues, meaning it will become more and more each month. Every month the bank gives you a dollar after 12 months, you'll have $12, enough to become a member of ESL Podcast for more than a month. Wow. Let's listen to Michael one more time.
For example, I'm saving up for a vacation. I want to save $5,000. I want to meet this goal in 3 years. Smarty Pig will actually calculate how much money you need to allocate every month. You don't have to move from your existing bank. We'll actually go in and withdraw those funds on the day you specify every month, and we'll put them into your Smarty Pig account where they'll actually accrue interest as well.
Next, we'll hear from Janice Staubel. She is a spokesperson, a person who is responsible for talking with reporters and people in the newspaper or television or radio business who represents a company. That's what a spokesperson does. Janet is a spokesperson for another financial website called bankrate.com. She's going to talk about this general trend, this new movement in people using the internet to help them save money. Let's listen.
There's all kinds of individuals who have their own blogs who are talking about money, creating videos, making infographics, and you just kind of see personal finance information in places that you wouldn't expect.
Janet begins by saying there's all kinds of individuals. They're all kinds means there are many different types of people. The word individuals just refers to people, human beings. She says there are all kinds of individuals who have their own blogs who are talking about money. They're also creating videos and making infographics. The word infographics is a combination of the word information and graphics. A graphic, G-R-A-P-H-I-C, as a noun, is a drawing or a chart or a graph, some image perhaps, that tries to present often statistical or numerical information. It could be a chart, it could be a graph, it could be a map, it could be a drawing or some other kind of image. In this case, Janet is talking about infographics that relate to how people are saving and spending money. Janet says that these people are making infographics, videos, and are writing on their blogs. Because of all of this online activity, she says, you just kind of see personal finance information in places that you wouldn't expect. Personal finance information would be information referring to how people take care of or manage their money. Personal finance can relate to a lot of different things, using checking accounts, having a credit card, saving for retirement, all those sort of things. She says that you just kind of see, she's speaking informally here, she means you can see all of this information in places you wouldn't expect. You don't perhaps think you will find information about someone's spending and saving on their blog, but you, in fact, do on some of these new websites. Let's listen to Janet one more time.
There's all kinds of individuals who have their own blogs who are talking about money, creating videos, making infographics, and you just kind of see personal finance information in places that you wouldn't expect.
Next, Janet talks a little bit more about the sort of things you might find online, what people are talking about on their blogs or on Facebook or other places. Let's listen.
it's not likely that, you know, you might go to a friend and say, hey, I paid off $1,000 of my credit card today. But people write up blog posts about it, and they explain how they did it and how much closer they are to their financial goal, whatever it is.
She begins by saying, it's not likely, meaning it would be unusual, it's not likely that you might go to a friend and say, hey, I paid off $1,000 on my credit card today. To pay off is a two-word phrasal verb, meaning to pay all of the money on a loan that you owe someone. So if you borrow $1,000 from the bank and you decide to pay off your loan, you give the bank all of the money back that you borrowed from it, plus interest, of course. To pay off a credit card means to use your Visa or MasterCard or American Express or whatever credit card you have, to use it to buy things, then you pay it off. You give all of the money back to the credit card company. If you do that within the first month, usually you don't have to pay interest. That's how I use my credit card. I hate paying the bank interest. I never have what we would call a balance on my credit card. That is, money that I owe that I still have to pay next month to them. Well, if you owe $1,000 on your credit card and you pay it off, usually you probably will not go to someone else and say, hey, guess what I did today? I paid off my credit card. But, Janet says, people now are writing about this sort of thing on their blogs. They're explaining how they did it, how they saved up the money, and how much closer they are to their financial goal. The thing, say a vacation or a new car, that they're saving their money for. Let's listen to Janet one more time.
It's not likely that, you know, you might go to a friend and say, hey, I paid off $1,000 of my credit card today. But people write up blog posts about it, and they explain how they did it and how much closer they are to their financial goal, whatever it is.
The final American we will ask is a professor at a university, Bentley University, in Massachusetts, which is located in the northeast part of the United States. He's going to talk about this website, SmartyPig, and how it works with other banks in order to do what it does. Let's listen.
For instance, SmartyPig, they are not actually a bank, but they are partnered with a bank. And so what you're going to see is big banks and little banks that are legitimate financial institutions, but not necessarily the most savvy when it comes to computers or the internet. They will partner up with other companies that may be doing some of the web material and other assistance, while the actual banking would be done through a bank with which it is connected.
Steve begins by saying, for instance, which is another way of expressing the idea, for example, he says, for instance, SmartyPig, they are not really a bank, but they are partnered with a bank. To be partnered means that you have someone you are working closely with. The verb is to partner. The noun, the person you work with, is called your partner. And that relationship is called a partnership. People work as partners because usually one person knows something and the other person knows something different, and together they're able to do something that neither of them can do alone. Well, SmartyPig is not a bank, but they are partnered with a bank. So our professor predicts what you're going to see in the future is big banks and little banks that are legitimate financial institutions, but not necessarily the most savvy when it comes to computers and the internet, they will partner up with other companies that may be doing some of the web material and other assistance. Okay, let's go back and explain that. We have big banks, large banks, and little banks. Steve describes these little banks as those that are legitimate financial institutions. When we say something is legitimate, we mean it's real, it's legal, it's fair, it's honest, it is actually what it says it is. A legitimate financial institution would be one that follows the government regulations, that does what it's supposed to do, and so forth. A lot of these small banks, however, aren't necessarily the most savvy when it comes to computers and the internet. To be savvy, S-A-V-V-Y, means to have a lot of knowledge about something, to be very experienced with something. The professor here is saying that these banks don't have the most savvy, they're not very savvy when it comes to, when it relates to computers or the internet. So they work with another organization, they partner up with other companies that are doing some of the internet, the web information, the web materials and assistance. The actual banking, the real banking, is done with the bank, but these companies provide all of the other internet support, you could say. That's how they are able to work together as a partner. At the end, our professor says that the actual banking would be done through a bank with which it, meaning companies like Smarty Pig, is connected. That is related to, has a relationship, in this case, a partnership with. Let's listen to Steve one more time.
For instance, Smarty Pig, they are not actually a bank, but they are partnered with a bank. And so what you're going to see is big banks and little banks that are legitimate financial institutions, but not necessarily the most savvy when it comes to computers or the internet. They will partner up with other companies that may be doing some of the web material and other assistance, while the actual banking would be done through a bank with which it is connected.
Now you can go out and save money by going to one of these websites. Of course, there's always the problem of security with some of these websites. Sometimes you're not always certain about how secure they are. But if you trust them, they're probably something that can help you. Speaking of helping us, we thank Voice of America for the audio clips in this Ask an American segment, in most of our Ask an American segments. Now let's answer some of your questions. Constantine, K-O-N-S-T-A-N-T-I-N, in Russia, wants to know the difference between the expression don't worry and don't bother. Don't worry, W-O-R-R-Y, or do not worry, means try not to become upset or nervous or troubled about something. Don't get concerned about something. Don't bother, B-O-T-H-E-R, means don't put any additional time or energy or effort into doing something. Often it means simply, don't do that. It's not worth your time. It doesn't matter. It's not important. Or perhaps it won't make a difference. So don't worry really relates to how you feel about something, what you are thinking, what you are feeling. Don't bother is related to your actions, what you are going to do or not going to do. We have a similar phrase that is often used by young Americans, younger Americans. I'm a young American, sort of. Although I did see someone say about my YouTube video, one of my YouTube videos, his voice sounds a lot younger than the way he looks. Really? Well, I think that's true. My voice does sound younger. I look 25, but my voice sounds more like 20, right? That's what I thought. Anyway, young people like me sometimes use the expression, no worries. No worries is a little different than the more common expression, don't worry. No worries is used when someone does something wrong, or someone hurts you or perhaps says something to you that is possibly something that might bother you. The other person says, no worries, meaning you don't have to worry about my feelings. It's no big deal. It's not important. So you're at a bar and your friend walks up to a beautiful woman that you were interested in, and the beautiful woman and your friend go over to a table and start talking, and then your friend comes back to you and says, oh, I'm sorry, you wanted to talk to that girl also, didn't you? And you say, oh, no worries, it's no big deal, I'm going to go now and you can just take the bus home from the bar. Our next question comes from Lotfolla, L-O-T-F-O-L-L-A-H. I'm sure I'm mispronouncing that. I'm not sure where Lotfolla is from. The question has to do with a phrase, not only. This phrase sometimes comes at the beginning of a sentence. For example, not only are you unhappy, but you are also sick. Not only means not exclusively. It's not just this one thing, but it's also another thing. Not only did my best friend go with the beautiful girl that I liked at the bar, he also didn't pay for his drink when he left that evening. So not only did he steal the girl I was interested in, he also made me pay for his drink. What a friend. Well, not only can be used in the beginning of a sentence, it also can be used in the middle, if you will, of a sentence. You could say, Ken is not only ugly, but also stupid. Or you could say, Julie is not only a successful architect, someone who builds buildings, but also a wonderful mother. Notice when we use not only in this case, when we use it with the expression, but also, the things that come after not only and but also have to be the same kind of word, the same part of speech, we would say. So if it's an adjective in the first part, it has to be an adjective in the second part. Ken is not only ugly, adjective, but also stupid, adjective. You can't say, Ken is not only ugly, but also a boy. Well, boy is a noun, not an adjective, and therefore you can't use it in this way, with this construction of not only and but also. That particular use is a little more formal in English. You don't hear it as much in normal conversation. Putting not only at the front of the sentence is a little more informal, and you will hear that more in a conversational setting. Lucas, L-U-K-A-S, in Germany, wants to know the meaning of the phrase, I'm moving past the feeling, or I'm getting past the feeling. He heard this in a song. Let's talk about the meaning of to get past something first. To get past, P-A-S-T, or to move past something, means that you are getting over something that was very difficult, perhaps. Something that was emotionally difficult for you. So if you lose your father, if your father dies or your mother dies, that can hurt you, that can affect you emotionally. And eventually you will try to move past the pain or get past the emotional pain that you felt. This is the meaning of get past or move past a certain feeling, a certain way that you felt. It's almost always used when you have had a difficult negative experience that you need to go beyond. You need now to move forward, we might say, to get past that particular painful event. Finally, Elena, E-L-E-N-A, also in Russia, wants to know the difference in pronunciation between the word spelled W-O-O-L and W-A-L-L. The first word, W-O-O-L, is pronounced wool. Wool is what you get from a sheep. It's something that you make warm clothing out of. If you go to the country of New Zealand, they have a lot of sheep, and you can buy things that are made from the wool of the sheep. The second word, W-A-L-L, is wall. Wall is, of course, what you have in a building or a house. Wool, wall. Wool is what comes from a sheep. Wall is what you have in your house. Our crazy English language certainly has some strange rules for pronunciation or strange cases of pronunciation. For example, W-O-O-L, wool, is pronounced differently than T-O-O-L, tool. Tool is a word describing a hammer or a screwdriver, some instrument you use to fix something else. Wool and tool are spelled almost the same, but have very different pronunciations. That's what makes English so fun, right? If you have a question, email us at eslpod@eslpod.com. From Los Angeles, California, I am Jeff McQuillan. Thank you for listening. Come back and listen to us again right here on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast's English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan and Dr. Lucy Say. Copyright 2012 by the Center for Educational Development.